Hi, everyone. This is Drew. Hey, we've been providing authentic, in-depth interviews about spiritual stuff for over 15 years now. But there's a change a-coming. Now, if you've already heard this message, just skip ahead to the interview. But if it's the first time, will you do me a solid and hang with me for just a few minutes? You know, about 15 years ago when I moved back to Canada after being a pastor in Australia, I realized that there was no way in the world that I should be in any form of spiritual leadership for so many reasons. But I think the main reason was because I've always struggled with belief. Now look, I'm still incredibly curious about what gets people through the night, and more often than not, it ends up being someone's faith or spiritual beliefs. So I created a radio show that set out to interview cultural icons and religious leaders, celebrities, and, you know, everyday people about what they believe, but more importantly, why they believe. And along the way, my faith has gone from simply being a noun to a verb. And I've also discovered that doubt is actually more compatible with faith than certainty. In other words, I no longer feel guilty about my doubts. So thanks for tuning in as I interview all sorts of people about all sorts of faith. I hope their journeys, no matter what they believe, have had a profound impact on your journey, and that your faith has also become a verb. Because, in my opinion, being spiritually neutral, that's an oxymoron. By the way, thanks to Joy Radio for letting me broadcast all of this spiritual tension, because I think this tension is where real faith is cultivated, in between hope and doubt. Together, Joy Radio and my team have created Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show. Okay, that's all the kumbaya stuff. Now here's the ask. And I know, I'm the same. I'm rolling my eyes as well. It's kind of like when Wikipedia puts up that note asking for money every once in a while, or when your local publicly supported radio or TV station does one of those annoying fundraising campaigns. I completely ignore them as well. I guess my thinking is that an organization like Wikipedia probably makes enough money anyway. Or, worst case scenario, they'll find enough people to support them. But please, if you're a regular listener of the Drew Marshall Show, man, I kind of really need your help. The station I've been broadcasting on for over 15 years has never actually paid me to do the show. Instead, they've let me try to sell advertising. But that's been a little more of a challenge than I imagined, because religious advertisers sometimes feel that my show isn't religious enough, and quote-unquote normal advertisers sometimes feel like we're too religious. So it's been a long, crazy uphill battle over the last 15 years just trying to make a living, living in that tension. Trust me, I'm struggling to pay the bills just like you are. But as we start season 16 in September, we just found out something huge. Joy Radio will now be charging me for airtime. Now, surprisingly, this is standard practice for a lot of radio shows, especially on faith-based radio stations. But the bottom line is that there will now be an astounding 30% hike in costs for me. Ugh. Airtime's not cheap, and to be honest, finding even more advertisers to cover that 30%, it's kind of freaking me out a little bit. So, maybe you've been downloading our podcast and don't actually have to listen to the advertising that our radio audience listens to during each live four-hour show. And by the way, just so you know, any advertising we've actually been able to find has only ever covered about 70% of our annual costs. So the ask is this: would you consider going from being just a consumer of our show to becoming a patron? Would you mind throwing us a few bucks each month just to help us cover that 30% difference? Heck, you know what? If we can get enough patrons supporting the Drew Marshall Show, we could feasibly get to the point where we become completely listener-supported without the need of any advertising. Now that would be amazing. So, a patron. What? What is that? Well, a patron was the kind of person who allowed Shakespeare to create a product that also spoke of similar life tensions. Tensions that most people were living, but few were admitting to each other. A patron is someone who appreciates the product they're consuming so much that they're willing to throw a few bucks towards securing a future for that product. Now, just FYI, there are over 100,000 creators being supported by patrons through Patreon right now. So this is becoming the new way to say thank you to those who create the products we all consume online. Now, I fully understand the fact that I'm certainly no Shakespeare. I get that. But someone said to me recently that they would absolutely support our show monthly. Methinks there might be others. Yea, but maybe not. Let's findeth outeth. Yeah, I should never do that again. So here's the ask. Will you support the Drew Marshall Show $4 or $9 or $19 a month? By the way, that's American coin, so sorry to everyone listening from parts of the world whose currency is kind of struggling against the US dollar. But here's the other thing. If you cannot afford it, please, obviously, no worries. When I used to be a pastor, I would say, hey, when the offering plate goes around, if you can give, give. If you need some, take some. So just take our show for free, guilt-free, if you can't afford $4 a month. Please. Because the conversations we're having in the Drew Marshall Show, I honestly feel need to be heard no matter what. Look, my dream is to have the most brutally authentic spiritual talk show in the world. And here's why that's important to me. Because I really believe that a key ingredient to spiritual growth is authenticity. And the tension of a brutally authentic spiritual talk show makes some people feel uncomfortable. But as far as I'm concerned, faith is messy and it can be brutal. But instead of looking the other way, our show dares to stare back into this beautiful mess called faith. So thanks for your support as we continue to live in the tension between belief and doubt, and while trying not to take ourselves too seriously along the way. Hopefully you'll laugh, sometimes you'll cringe, but no matter what, please know that what I care about most is brutally authentic spirituality. Now, go drink the Kool-Aid, will ya?
Cult reference!
And become a patron of The Drew Marshall Show. Thanks for listening.
How does your tribe worship? During the month of July, I have been visiting different places of worship and exploring various religious tribes. The first week, I went to a Pentecostal Christian church called Kennedy Road Tabernacle, known to many in the tribe as KRT. Yes, that's the church for me. And it's also the one where Barney worships because it's purple inside.
Yes.
It used to be. I can't remember. I haven't been there in a long time. Anyway, so if you want to hear my report on my visit to a Pentecostal church, where apparently, I didn't realize this, I forgot, you need to dress up for God. He cares about how you look.
Yep.
That you want to go to
half
that
Windsor,
church.
Nothing less.
Half Windsor. Oh, that's boarding school memory. Sunday night, my dad teaching me how to do a tie.
Yep.
Half Windsor. July 14th, I spoke about my experience visiting a Muslim mosque. And July 21st, I shared about my experience visiting a Hindu temple. So today, I'm going to be talking about my experience at Pagan Fest. Now, when I say the phrase Pagan Fest, I'm going to go right to Nicole here on this one. Nicole, what is that? Bridget, we can hear you. Bridget, or Nicole, when I say Pagan Fest, what's the first thing that jumps in your mind? Seriously and honestly, what jumps into your mind?
I get frightened.
You get frightened?
Yeah.
Why? Can we get some more volume on her, please?
I think of the typical, the stereotypical, right? Like the witches and the wicked and the evil and the dark.
Right.
So,
animal sacrifice.
That's where I go. Yes.
Yep.
Human
yep.
sacrifice,
pentagrams.
Animal sacrifice. Yeah, stuff you hear about for
right,
sure.
Right, right, yeah. right. So, would you go to Pagan Fest?
They probably like your product because it's natural.
Mm. Well, you know what? I've never gone to a Pagan Fest to date.
Right. So here's the thing. This is the conversation, right? This is exactly where I want to go with this conversation. Our preconceived ideas of what something is influences how we feel about it.
For sure.
And a lot of the times, our ideas are based in ignorance. Mm-hmm. And what I have found is that I have become far more, let me just say this concisely, there is a correlation between judgmentalism and ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
And I have excelled in both of those arenas in my life, and I have been a judgmental jerk about so many different groups of people. The last group of people I don't know if I want to get over this one, are skateboarders. I like to judge them and just keep them there. Okay. Is that all right?
Yeah, anything named after like Ollie, doing an Ollie, they don't deserve to have friends.
You know, that's a very challenging sport.
I know.
Anyway.
You do?
I'm just saying it to make him sound smart.
Shauna, I might need to get control back, so at any time, feel free to kill their microphones. So one of the things that, having lived in the tribe of certainty, evangelical Christianity, for 30-plus years, is, I guess a byproduct of that was we're very good at pronouncing judgment on other people. And a lot of this was fear-based. And a lot of this, for example, and I've shared this numerous times on the show, I'd walk by a store of some sort, and if I smelled incense, my brain told me that Satan was in that store, that this was an evil place and you don't go in because they have incense. Mm-hmm. And that was like the smoke of Satan or something, I don't know. Satan was having a butt inside the store. It was incense, yeah. So that's the kind of thinking that I came out of. And it also, I mean, it all started, I can think, Tim, think back to the earliest influence from the evangelical tribe that got you scared of quote-unquote evil stuff, the very first kind of stuff that we were taught. Do you remember the cassette tape that was passed around Teen Ranch called Hell's Bells?
With the backward masking and stuff? Yeah, I do remember that, I remember Mike Warnke doing a whole thing about Satanism.
Yep. Mike Warnke, who told everyone he was a Satanist, and it turns out it was a lie. The guy who made a lot of money doing that. Yeah. And
Anderson, the guy who would...
What was his name?
Something Anderson. Bob.
Bob. Neil Anderson.
Neil, that's it. Yes.
And then there was This Present Darkness.
Yep.
The Peretti stuff. Frank Peretti wrote these fiction books that sort of helped us all try to understand better the spiritual realm out there and where there was angels and demons everywhere. And if you were speeding, it was because there was a demon on the roof of your car. Stuff like that.
Yes. That was always my excuse.
How'd that play out with the Ossifer?
Only the Pentecostal ones would let me go through.
That's right. But you could trust them because their hands were never on their gun.
Yes. Well, they didn't have a gun. Yeah, they didn't have a gun.
Their hands were up before yours were. Anyway.
Pull over.
So, all of this is to say that over the last number of years, when I started doing this show, I made a decision that I wanted primary source material. So instead of going to a Christian bookstore and buying a book on what pagans believe, I asked a pagan what pagans believe. I interviewed a pagan about what their beliefs were. So let me clarify a couple of things. Paganism is like a term like Christian. And under the title Christian are subtitles or subcategories. You have Catholic Christians, you have Protestant Christians. And under those are more categories. So under the phrase paganism, you will get these categories. Shamanism, Druidism, Wicca, and some people say Satanism. But I don't think many Wiccans would agree with that, and I know Satanists wouldn't agree with that. So they're like a different category. So let me just explain one thing that I learned along the way of doing this show. First of all, let's talk about Satanism and then just pack that up and put it away because it doesn't have much to do with paganism. Satanism, Satanists, when I spoke to Peter Gilmore, the high priest of the Church of Satan, he explained to me that Satanists don't believe in Satan. And I went, what? I did Scooby-Doo on him.
Thanks, Shaggy.
Really, Satan? In order for them to believe in a real Satan, that would give credence to the Christian theology, to the Christian scriptures, because that's where Satan comes from. Satan is talked about as the fallen angel, where he got all up in God's grill about stuff and said,
Can do that.
Three snaps in a Z-formation. He was the original guest on Jerry Springer, apparently. And so God kicked Lucifer out of heaven along with a third of the angels because they all sided with him. It was kind of like a political party thing.
A coup.
A coups. And, so this is all Christian doctrine. Well, why would a group of people who don't believe in a God, they are atheists, they certainly don't believe in the Christian God, even more, because Satanism really started by Anton LaVey and Timothy Leary and all those kind of cronies in the 60s as a result of the oppressive nature of the patriarchal Christian overlords of the United States of America, right? The government was apparently all Christian, and like it was a very Christian country kind of a thing.
Kind of like now.
Not quite a – yeah, anyway, don't pollute a good story with that.
Sorry.
Not talking about Trump right now.
I didn't say it.
Oh, you thought it. I know you did.
I don't think.
So they kind of said, all right, well, we're going to freak you guys out. And we're going to call ourselves Satanists because that's going to freak you all out. And then you're going to lose your mind. But we don't believe. And what drove Peter Gilmore nuts, the high priest of the Church of Satan, was when he'd hear about all this in the news, the sensationalistic, punks who would claim that we worship a real Satan and we sacrifice and blah, 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 blah. Like, that's not Satanism, you putz. I'm not sure if it was a Yiddish way he scolded them or not, but...
Because as long as it's not the Christian God.
As long as it's not the Christian God. All right. So, that's the first thing. Let's take Satanism, put him over here.
Bye-bye.
I went to Pagan Fest. I've been there before. The first time I went, I watched a bike and a witch get married.
Biker?
A biker.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's next. Yeah. If you allow polygamy, next thing you know, you can marry a bicycle.
Mr. and Mrs. Schwinn.
It was a German wedding. Yeah. Don't turn my mic down. Turn them down. Anyway, and it was very neat, and they did a hand fasting ceremony, which is one of the oldest ceremonies in the world, where they basically tie ribbon around and thing.
Oh, I thought you said fasting.
Yeah, I thought you said
hand fasting. Fasting.
So it was an amazing ceremony, and it was very interesting watching it as an outsider. But the problem was the bikers thought I was a cop, and like some undercover guy coming in. And so eventually they came up to me and said, "You on the job?" I thought, no, I'm not in the toilet right now. What are you talking about? No, job, 10, not jobby.
10-100.
So I had a really interesting time getting to know, guess, the people.
Oh.
The actual humans behind this belief system that people are wigged out about. And what I've discovered, having met one of the a few of the key druids in the world, a few of the key witches in the world, a few key shamans, and when I say key, I mean sort of notable, is that, lo and behold, they're just human beings struggling through what they believe, wondering, and they've latched on to something that feels good for them. And it doesn't mean I have to believe it. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of stuff in Christendom that Christians believe that I don't believe. Mm. So I met, what I did was, the first night, Saturday night, I went to a concert, and it was so cool. The mosquitoes were brutal, but it was an outdoor concert, and they had like all the drums and all the percussion thing, and I'll play you a little clip of what that sounded like. It was very interesting. And then Sunday morning, I drove back up there. Not sure what that word was.
Swedish chef all day.
Wait, here's a clip. Now imagine people dancing in hippie dresses, right? Okay, you can just imagine it. Ooh, what's happening there? Are they in a circle around the fire and, you know, that kind of stuff? No, it was just a really good band. They were amazing. I mean, they even did this song. I don't know if this will play or not. Of course they did this. Of course, Stevie Nicks was one of the more famous Wiccans. Yeah. That people would know. So, and Tucker the Wonder Dog came with me, and of course they had a black cat on the property wandering around, and it was very close. Mm. This cat was very oblivious that Tucker was there, and all of a sudden he went on takeoff. So Sunday I went, and we gathered underneath this tent because it was raining, and there was a variety of people, and I just interviewed a group of people, and I talked about why you believe what you believe, and what do you believe, and how does that actually impact who you are as a human being. The Saturday night before I went there, I pulled into an old country church parking lot, gravel parking lot, just down the road from Pagan Fest, because Tucker needed a little break, and I didn't want him peeing on pagans. So we went off into the, you know, whatever. And as I was there, this SUV vehicle came screeching up to the gravel there, and I could hear the guy inside, the window was down, and he was pounding on the door. And he was saying, let me the F out of this place. And he was just losing his mind, and he was trying to get out of the vehicle. Well, of course, the girl stops the car. They're screaming at each other, and I look in the back seat, and there's a little kid in the back seat crying who is terrified from this. And I'm like, so I noticed this because Tucker went at the guy in the car. Like, he went straight beeline towards this guy. He knows when someone's creepy. And I was paralyzed.
Chuck. Thank you, Nick. You're getting a little tense there.
I was paralyzed by this sort of analysis, paralysis of analysis. What do I do? Because every time I get involved with something, it gets escalated because, you know, I'm 6'4", 240, and what are you doing? You know, and the guy wants to take me on. It's like, oh, geez.
Are you on the job?
Yeah, that's right. So I was trying to figure out what was going on, and I started seeing some pushing and shoving in the car, and I couldn't tell if he was hitting her or what was going on. And I've intervened in domestics before, and almost every time I've taken the guy out of the situation, who is the next person pounding me? Mm-hmm. The female out of this group. So I was like, oh, what am I doing here? So another vehicle pulls in. I'm like, oh, thank goodness. I walk over to the vehicle, go, listen, can you guys just hang around here for a second because I want to witness. There's a domestic going on. The girl goes, yeah, that's my sister and her drunk husband in the car. Oh. And so she gets out and says, will you come with me? No problem. So I stand beside her. Don't say a word. De-escalation by no words. It was a beautiful thing. And eventually he got out of the car. they took the sister took the child out of the car, and the lady drove off, and the guy was left by himself to walk to town. So it's very, very perfect scenario there. But I went to the pagans and I said, I explained that whole scenario and said, as a pagan, how does that inform you in that scenario? What would you have done? Would you have prayed to a god that you believe in? Would you have conjured a spell or something? You know what I mean? You get all this kind of... So I just asked them every insane question you could think of, and they were so gracious. And my overall word for the pagans that I've hung out with over the last number of years would be grace. They're very accepting people. They're still a group of people that get cliquey and judgmentally, and, you know, they're still humans. But they're... And I hesitate saying it like this every time, but I've checked in with the big dudes, the big kahunas, not dudes, but the big kahunas in these groups. And I've said, it kind of seems like you guys are all the nerds from school that we used to pick on for playing D&D in your mom's basement. And now you're grown up and you've decided to get a little power back in your life, your shoulders are back, you're standing up, a little more feeling good about yourself, a little more a part of a group and acceptance, and you found a group that accepts you. And they've all said, yeah, you're kind of actually right. Wow. That is kind of our group of people. Very accepting and so friendly with me. They're the friendliest group that I've come across.
And if you have any IT problems.
Exactly. Exactly. I didn't see any. There's no sacrifice and silliness. There was a black cat, though. There's no, you know, I don't know. I just... Maybe it goes on and I didn't see it, but why? Why would we allow ourselves to let Hollywood form our thinking on this stuff? Find out a pagan. Find a pagan. Find a pagan. It's a new game show.
Pin the tail on them.
And get to know them as human beings.
I know one. She really likes essential oils.
Yes.
That's pretty much that's what I know of her.
You're spot on.
Yeah.
So I want to share with you a conversation I had on the Facebook, someone who used to be at the church I was a pastor at in Australia. And I became friends with this lady because she reeked of grace. She was a very accepting of other people who believe other things kind of person. So I was shocked at this conversation. Not shocked, that's dramatic, but I was like, what?
Can you sing a song?
Oh, here it goes. Here we go. Drew, what's going on? What's with the psychics, etc. on your show? I'm trying to read between the lines here. I've been following along with lots of your posts. Are you saying you are no longer a Christian? What happened to the Drew that had Glenbrook Baptist Church bursting at the seams? You know I am only concerned for my brother in Christ. XX. Well, if it's a Christian thing, you shouldn't have kiss there.
Those are hugs, aren't they?
No, hugs are the zeros. Oh.
No, kisses are zeros.
No.
Yeah.
Kiss. Because your mouth is round.
No, kiss.
X is a hug.
Yeah.
Totally.
Really? We're hijacking the conversation with this?
That's totally
okay.
Right. Yeah.
So my first reaction to that is, well, hold on. Let me just tell you my reaction. LOL. So because I have a psychic on my show, I'm not a Christian? Who else have I interviewed that makes me not a Christian? She says, not saying you're not a Christian, just asking where you're at. You know who psychics are working for, right? So if you have them on your show, you must believe in what they're doing. So my issue with this is that think about all the people. So Oprah, let's just go to Oprah for a second. I'm not saying she's a Christian or not, but what I am saying is, so Oprah believes everything that all her guests believe? Just because you interview someone does not believe you believe what they believe, if that's clear. So I said, I must believe in someone's beliefs if I have them on my show. You really think that the host believes in what every guest on a talk show believes? And she says, no, I know it's about getting listeners. I'm glad you all felt what I felt. Because that felt like a throw me under the bus thing.
Wow.
And I said, oh, and I don't want to use their name, so-and-so. It's so much more than about that. So she says, where do you draw a line in the sand? If you are professing to be a Christian, are you professing to be a Christian on your show or not? Just asking. I'm not attacking you, Drew. Just concerned for where you're at. You can have who you want on your show, but as a fellow Christian, ? I couldn't live with myself if I didn't at least question you about it.
Wowza.
So I said, So I said, like,
OMJ.
I said, guess you haven't been listening, actually, to the show. Everything you've asked me is dripping with condescension. Thanks for your concern, but you are making unbelievable assumptions. I guess we've both changed. The Christian I knew wouldn't draw the kinds of lines that you're drawing. Mm-hmm. What lines? That saying people that dabble with Satan is okay? I'm not making assumptions about you, Drew. I'm asking as a friend where you're at, not meaning to be condescending. I would say that I'm praying for you, but that would be condescending? ? I listened to the interview. I'm not scared of people who believe in that stuff, but I am, as a Christian, drawing a line in the sand and saying it's wrong. Unfortunately, now Christianity has become this very blurry thing where anything is okay. The Bible is being twisted to suit whatever people want. God must be cringing.
I think it was cringing long before we got here.
Yep. Yeah.
So my whole take on that dialogue, and it was a very – I told her. I said, I'm going to talk about this on the show because I think this is actually an important discussion. If you are a follower of Christ and you believe that Christ is part of the Trinity and therefore God, and you believe in the Creator God and a restorative relationship with that Creator through Jesus Christ, then why are you so wimpy about stuff? Mm-hmm. What do you think God is afraid of? And do you still believe, like the 40s called, they want their theology back. Do you think that if you brush up against a pagan, you're going to get something on you? That is ludicrous. There are scriptures that, of course, warn you to stay away from the practice of these things. But I am not practicing these things. I am doing what, Tim? I am doing what Paul did in the New Testament, where he went to hang out with the Greeks, and he, instead of chastising them and handing out Jack Chick Bible tracts to everybody and telling them how wrong they are and how they need to stop doing the things they're doing,
he said, hey,
and he did the research ahead of time. He knew what he was talking about. Uh-huh. He said, hey, tell me about these statues here. What are they all about? Oh, these are about the gods that we – oh, interesting. So tell me about these gods that you worship. Okay, interesting. Now, I noticed there's one here that's not named. Tell me about that one. And then he said, oh, yes, you know what? I think I know that unnamed God. That's my God. Let me tell you about my God. That's it. Mm-hmm. There was no, ooh, I'm going to get cooties. There is a theological cootie doctrine that's happening here that is ridiculous, and it means your God is puny and scared and has to run away from stuff.
Yep.
Wow.
Feel like I just had some bran.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I not saying that I need to say there, Tim, just to clear that up?
What are you not saying?
Yeah. Is it clear?
Absolutely.
Girls, Crystal, are you understanding it?
Crystal. Oh, okay. Totally. I think that I would be living a very, very lonely life if I only associated with people that believed everything that I believe.
And we know people like that. And they do live a lonely and isolated life. And they only want to surround themselves with people who believe the same thing. Mm-hmm. And that's ludicrous. Mm-hmm. It's not even scriptural.
And it's unfortunate because we're constantly segregating, right? So it's interesting because many times my husband and I have been told, oh, you're not a real Christian. Do you go to church? You're not a real Christian. And I'm like, oh my gosh, but you know what? Church isn't an hour a week for us. Mm-hmm. And this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
Church is something that is in our heart. Rather than an hour a week, I go and I hang out somewhere and I'm tuned out of the message and I'm listening, but I'm there. So it means something. To me, it's much more than that. And it's something that you embody within. So a lot of times, Miguel and I get told, oh, you're not a real Christian. Where do you go to church and what denomination? And we've never believed in a denomination.
Mm-hmm.
I very much believe in Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in God. But I'm not about segregating. If you want to talk about the characteristics that embody Jesus and compassion and love and embrace and whatnot, we can talk about that. And that, to me, is religion.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Well, didn't Jesus hang out with all the wrong people?
Mm-hmm. He did okay.
Can
you imagine if somebody saw me hanging out with a hooker?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You've done that.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I have people in my life I know are in the sex industry, and I can just imagine the mm-hmm. right away on the Christian station. He said, "What? What? What?"
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, hold on a second here. I'm certainly not saying I'm in spiritual leadership at all. I'm not a spiritual leader. I'm not certainly not, like Jesus. But if Jesus
but if you
is your
are,
goal and Jesus hung out with bad people, like the dregs of society were the prostitutes and tax collectors. That means you don't run for politics if you're a Christian.
but if you are a spiritual leader, Drew, what's I'm wrong with conversing with that person?
I think where this comes from for a lot of people is a genuine insecure faith. And they're afraid of what would happen to them. Now, I also know on the other side, there's people that go, oh, I'm a Christian, and I believe that strippers need to be ministered to, so I'm going to go to the strip club every week and minister to the strip. And you go, really?
Slipjack. Tracks into their...
Yeah. So, anyway, let me just tell you, I met some beautiful, beautiful people at Pagan Fest, and to me... do I believe what they believe? No, but I don't believe a lot of stuff that Christians believe. But what it's helping me realize is, and I get where people are coming from. Oh, everyone can believe anything. That's true, actually, because you can't force people to believe what you believe. So it is true. People can believe whatever they want. There is a kumbaya reality out there that kind of used to make me have a little mini puke in the back of my throat when I was a judgmental evangelical. But now I have discovered that I like humans again.
Hallelujah.
Wouldn't it be cool if God was like that? Like, he would show his love for us unconditionally.
What?
Wouldn't that be cool?
Step off.
So weird.
Step off. The 80s called. They want their saying back. Anyway, okay. Great band. Great people. Great discussion.
Great cat.
Great cat. Yep. And a multiplicity of believers believing a multiplicity of things under one tent. There were shamans. There were druids, there were Wiccans, and there were people from all different parts of the world who were just like hitchhiking around Canada and saw Pagan Fest online and went, okay, I'm going to go to that and camp. And
were they having a good time?
They were having a great time.
See? Was anyone getting hurt?
I wasn't there for that part of
it.
Having a good time, no one's getting hurt.
Bring out the patchouli.
Yeah. We just had a patchouli discussion the other day.